Please open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Now today, we are not going to spend a lot of time exegeting Scripture or looking at Scripture. I've taken some principles from a book written by John Gray called Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. And some of the principles in there are based on his observation. Some are on some psychology and things. But I've read most of the book and examined it and try to summarize a few of the principles to pass on to you, which have been very helpful to me as a man or a husband, and even seeing the difference in how my wife and I communicate. And so I hope that some of these principles you would be able to utilize in your walk with the Lord and your walk with your spouse. In Galatians chapter 6, let's just look at verse 7 and following. Galatians 6, 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So whatever we sow, we will reap. And I have a little statement up here about 401ks or retirement accounts and your marriage. You know, every day we're sowing a little bit into our marriage. Every day many people are sowing into their 401ks or their retirement account. Each day it's usually, or each week or paycheck, it's a small deposit. But over time, we or whoever is investing is hoping to have a large return in the future so that they can have a guaranteed retirement lifestyle account and take care of their family. Well, if we would look at our marriages as a retirement account, I think we could easily improve our marriages. And that we are investing day in and day out, a little here and a little there. A little love deposit, a little time of communication, a little forgiveness, a little empathy, a little ministry and support to one another. It's a good investment. Now, as I just read in verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So don't be deceived that if you sow to your flesh or you sow outside of your marriage that you're not going to reap some corruption or difficulties. The verse goes on the passage goes on in verse 8 to say, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Well, it's a fixed principle in farming. You sow a seed of corn, you reap a plant of corn. When we're sowing to our sinful nature, we will reap corruption. Last week we talked about and looked at the difference between good communication and corrupt communication. And in our marriages, we want to keep sowing to the Spirit, to our new nature, and then in turn sowing into our marriages by the grace of God, through the Spirit of God, for the glory of God, and for the good of each other and our children or home. Good marriages take a lot of investment. And one of the great investments is communication. And men and women oftentimes come to the table of talk or the talking table from a different perspective. And I would like to share some of those things here today. But I'd first like to just quickly review what we saw last week in the sense of God or the Lord Jesus Christ must build the church, must build the home. Psalm 127:1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And when you're walking in the Spirit and you're sowing to the Spirit, you're going to reap the qualities of your everlasting life, and the Spirit of God's fruit will be born out in your life, and the Lord can then build your home with the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge that He provides. Last week we saw good communication between the Lord with the husband and the wife enables or enhances or encourages good communication between one another. As we can walk then in humility and dependence upon the Lord, then we can express ourselves to Him and to our spouse. We saw this verse in Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication or word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. We saw that we have good communication and we have corrupt communication. And corrupt communication can affect us in a very negative way when we permit it to flow from our mouth. It can negatively affect our marriages when we have bitterness and wrath and anger and lying and corruptive words that attack and malign and things. God says, no corrupt communication which is a rotten or a poisonous or a cancerous or a deadly word. Not one word. Do not let one word of corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now that's supernaturally, or that is impossible, but supernaturally possible through the Spirit of God as we walk with Jesus Christ. But normally our tendency is to be defensive or argumentative or self-centered because we've been sowing to the sinful nature. It can go either way, husband or wife. We have this tendency from our sinful nature in our heart, and it proceeds out of our tongue. And we saw in James chapter 3 that the tongue is a world of iniquity. It's a little fire that can start a forest fire in our home by just a few little words, by a few phrases, by a statement that we've made. It is definitely the Lord's enabling that can control our tongue. It's likened unto a rudder that can steer a ship or a bit in a horse's mouth. It can do much damage. And as we saw, a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh word stirs up strife. And so when we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. And that corruption is going to show itself in the words that we speak. But one of the things we can really improve in, instead of talking all the time, instead of being quick to speak, we can be slow to speak and slow to wrath, be a better listener. Listen to others rather than always have to control the conversation. In the home, to be a good listener will benefit your communication because communication really is understanding, not just sharing of words, but being understood and understanding. Proverbs 18:13, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is his folly and shame to him. So corrupt communication is prohibited by God, but what he desires is good communication. Did you see here? He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, that is not a fact that you will receive everlasting salvation. This is from the Spirit. You're going to reap the qualities and the characteristics, the fruit and the benefits of your everlasting life. And so good communication can be a proceeding from the Spirit of God who is in control in your heart and directing according to the Word of God, and then you can benefit others. Good words will result in edification. Good words will impart grace to the hearers, as we saw in Ephesians 4:29 and following. So by the grace of God, through the Spirit of God, we can edify and build up our homes with the words of grace which proceed from our hearts, and we've been sowing to the Spirit by walking with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in dependence upon Him, communicating with Him, enjoying our relationship. So how did you do this week? Of course, the ladies got a break. They were away from their husbands for a while. But are there words of edification, words of corruption, words, good words of grace flowing from our tongue or our mouths? Well, they proceed from our heart. So really, the issue is to diligently guard our heart as we walk with the Lord. And we trust that when we do fail, we're quick to confess and admit it to our spouse, admit it to the Lord, restore the fellowship, and then start all over again. Now, as you see on your handout there, and again, I apologize, I filled in all the blanks, or I actually gave Steve the wrong handout there, but you have the blanks filled in. What we want to see is that God has designed men and women intrinsically different. Sometimes we don't have the awareness of this. We think the wife is hearing things exactly the way I'm saying them. No, she's filtering it. She's hearing it in a different way. Or the wife thinks that the husband is perceiving things as she is saying them. But oftentimes they're not. Men and women are designed by God differently. And that's good. That's very good. But if we don't recognize that, we are already at odds before a conflict arises. Before anger and frustration has surfaced in our relationship, we're already at odds because we don't understand how each other comes to the table or the conversation. So you're having a conversation with your spouse, and you think she's hearing things the way you're saying it, or vice versa. But oftentimes, it's totally different. It might be the same topic, but she sees it at a completely different way, or he perceives it as a different way. She's looking at the elephant and all the different graphic designs and the hair and how beautiful the thing is. He's looking at it as a target to accomplish. I'm going to get that thing. I'm going to conquer that elephant. Men expect women to think and communicate and react the way men do. And women mistakenly expect men to feel and communicate and respond in the way a woman does. And we have forgotten that God has made us different. And when we factor that into our relationship and our discussions, it can very much help us, enhance us, and benefit us. Clearly recognizing and respecting these differences will dramatically reduce, one, the confusion between each other, and secondly, the conflict by the grace of God, through the Spirit of God, as we recognize some of these things. The problem: men and women speak a different language. Normally, we communicate men on few words as possible. Now, it's interesting, while the ladies were gone, I ended up on Friday night spending some time with some other men, and I had been studying this week, and so I'm observing as the pool is being played and the ping pong is being played and as the hockey game was on, what types of conversations? Well, I didn't once hear anybody talk about their feelings or about how they were dressed and how nice they looked. But there was a little bit of poking about a little overweight, a little flub on their shot, and a little teasing and giving each other a hard time. That's how men oftentimes relate. Now, I say here, and I want to qualify first of all, what I'm saying are generalities, and you won't be able to say every man is like this and every woman is like this. No, but there are some very distinct differences and generalities that come out. Now, men like to tell stories. They enjoy reviewing their experiences, and especially when we are the white knights and we come out slaying the dragons or conquering the castle. We can tell those stories over and over and over, and we like to talk. But they're always hard subjects normally. If it's soft subjects, no, they're grunting. We just grunt a little bit. You know, old men, they'll tell that story over and over and over. How are you feeling today? My aches and my pains, that's what they'll talk about. My prostate. My arthritis. My this, or my grandchildren, because the glory of old men is their children's children, Proverbs tells us. But we don't normally express ourselves in great detail in how we're feeling. In fact, this morning I asked four men, how are you feeling? Guess how many word answers they had? One. Good. Fine. Okay. Yeah. Now when a woman is asked how she feels, that is an open book and an open door. And that's good. That's how she communicates. She's different. Men, they'll switch the subject very quickly. Beth has asked me in the past. I've gone ice fishing or fishing with men. She'll ask me when I get home, so what did you guys talk about today? Well, let me see. How deep were the fish? What lures we were using? How cold the wind was? What time should we have lunch? Oh, really? Is that all you talked about? Well, we fellowshipped a little bit, but we were very intensely working on catching fish, conquering the dragon, or slaying the dragon, conquering the castle. We were deeply involved with this. Sometimes a husband will wake up and his wife has said, I'm done. I'm leaving. I've had it with this relationship. And oftentimes it's because the man is so shallow in his communication that he doesn't realize that woman wants to express and talk and get in. And for years she's been asking to get into the relationship and discuss it. And he doesn't understand it. Number of men, both when I worked at the paper mill and other times, they'll say, I don't get it. I thought our marriage was really good. It's because he went fishing. He played ball. He checked in. He had his laundry done. He came home. And it was very, very shallow in their relating one to another. Because he was satisfied, but he didn't hear her crying out. He refuses, a man oftentimes, to communicate at a deeper level. He'll tell his buddies after something like this, I just don't know what happened. I thought everything was fine. Because a man isn't talking about the deeper things. They're talking about the stock market. They're talking about slaying dragons. They're solving problems. Doesn't matter the culture. We're all the same. God made us this way. And oftentimes that's valuable when you're in the military, when you have to fire someone on the job, when you have to do things like this. You have to do it, and you do it. But many times it hurts our marriage because we're poor listeners, and we express to our wives through this, I don't care. And she then withdraws. How can a wife encourage her husband to talk more? This is a tough one. Well, you ask him for a time to talk. I would say that. Not at 11:30 at night, please. Okay? Sometimes it happens at our house. Scott, can we talk about this? And I'm just about ready to go into, is it the alpha waves or the in my sleep? And she wants to talk about something very much on her mind. And I probably failed when I came home and didn't ask her, is there something that we should talk about tonight? Or I didn't set time aside because I'm accomplishing the bills. I'm getting things done. I'm hauling wood. I'm watching whatever. The hockey game. How can a wife appeal? I would say, pray to God and ask Him for ways to reach her husband. Express yourself very much face to face and communicate, I need to talk. Men do not need to talk very much. They can check in and everything's fine, good. Now, what's the next thing I have to do or accomplish? But a wife would do well if she appeals to her husband to speak about some specific things, and when can we set a time aside, honey? And express, I need to talk. Now, the husband normally, again, communicates at a less word level than a wife does. But also, a husband normally does not listen and wait until she has finished talking. But instead, he seeks to fix her problem almost immediately. Now, Proverbs 18:13 says, if a man doesn't hear something or a person, it's folly and a shame to him till he hears the whole thing. James 1:19, we need to be swift to hear and slow to speak. The most frequently expressed complaint women have about men is that men don't listen well. They might have a lot on their mind, and so they don't actually put things aside in order to give their wife his undivided attention. It could be that he's just sowing to his flesh and he's selfish. He might be immature. He's still a little boy, but he's married. And he's all about himself. This could be. He is just a guy who thinks in his wisdom, I'll fix her problem. She's coming to me to ask a problem. That's why she's expressing herself. No, we'll see in a little bit that a woman is not necessarily asking for help. She just wants to express herself. Men, learn to stop immediately solving your wife's problems. Start listening to her express her struggles, her difficulties, what's going on in her life, in her heart. This is how she relates. Here's what we do. She comes to us, Scott, can we talk? We start talking. As soon as she says something that's wrong, and immediately I put on my Mr. Fix-It hat. Okay, Beth, I interrupt her right in mid-sentence. Any husbands do that? Right in mid-sentence. Well, what you need to do, Beth, is after you prayed about this, we can... And immediately she is now hurting because I am ignoring her real need is to express. But in my filter, I think she needs something fixed. Ladies, is this true? You see this? They want to express it. Now again, some women are more expressive. Some are very quiet. But when they get together with ladies, they can talk. I would guess there was probably a million or so words spoken over the week up at the retreat. Now that's a rough estimate. Maybe larger. But a man can completely ignore what she's really saying, what she's speaking about, and he gets out his tools. He's going to put on his white knight outfit. He's going to try and solve the problem, conquer the castle, slay the dragon. Men, better listening is going to enhance our relationship. What she wants to know is you're caring enough about her to listen. He's confused because in his immaturity and ignorance of his wife's needs, he is just seeking to solve a problem. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. When guys get together, they usually get together to solve problems or to tell stories or to plan something. Not normally to express their feelings and discuss how their circumstances are relating to them. So sometimes we miss the boat when it comes to relating to our wives. I'm going to read the context here. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, and the son of Jeroham, and the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, and an Ephraimite. And he had two wives, and the name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival, Peninnah, also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? He solved the problem for her. You just need to look at me because I'm better than 10 sons to you. Does that meet the woman's need for being childless? It helps, but that's not the problem. She is suffering and she's grieved and she needs to express that. And a woman oftentimes, when she goes through trials and griefs, expresses herself. And one of it is crying, but also is words. Verse 9, so Hannah rose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, and now Eli the priest was sitting at on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord, and wept in anguish, and she made a vow. and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember me and not forget your hand servant, but will give your hand servant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And so she's praying and she's pouring out her grief to the Lord. And this is a very honorable thing in a very godly way of going through your trials, as you're crying out to the Lord and you're expressing yourself to the Lord. But oftentimes a husband can be there as a sounding board. And there's many times that she does not need anything fixed. She just needs to speak about what's going on. Talk out her problems. Discuss it. Men, we can understand our wives and draw her to us and enjoy our relationship more if we would just be a listener. What can a man do to be a better listener? Well, first of all, pray. Pray that the Lord would give you a heart for your wife and big ears. Ears that will listen, and wisdom to know when to be quiet and when to speak. We're to pattern the Lord Jesus Christ. He, in Ephesians 5:25, is likened. The husband is likened unto Christ. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So you're loving your wife by being a good listener. You're loving your wife by giving her time to express herself. You're praying for wisdom. You're patterning the Lord Jesus Christ, who cares for his church, and you care. Study your wife, as I have said, or the Bible speaks of in 1 Peter 3:6. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Know your wife well. She's having a difficult time. She needs to talk about it. You study your precious sports car. You study that little boat of yours. If it has one scratch on it or one smashed minnow in the bottom, you know it. But yet we just glance at our wives in a sense, and we don't study them and observe them and be available for them. Oh, honey, I got to go wax my boat. It's fishing season in 6 weeks. Get it? 6 weeks. Love your wives, giving her time, listening to her as Christ listens to our prayers. Now, moving along, not only the husband needs to be a better listener and stop trying to fix all of her problems, but also the wife normally communicates with an abundance of words to ensure that her feelings and perceptions are completely understood. She will cope with her difficulties in life by verbalizing them with others. Men do not do this. We do not express ourselves. Women tend to have a different way of coping. They love to communicate. They love to express themselves. They love to look at the situation in different ways. And when someone will listen and go through the trial with them verbally, it's very helpful for them. Now, not all women are maybe that open, but as a generality or a tendency, they find someone who they can discuss this with. Maybe their mother, maybe their best friend, maybe their sister, maybe someone at work, sometimes too many people. But they spend a lot of time supporting each other, helping each other, nurturing each other. Each woman senses that need to express themselves. I would guess when they were doing stamping up or jewelry or whatever they were doing up at the retreat, I'll bet you that everybody was talking and sharing. And it was going back and forth and back and forth. We were grunting on Friday night. Oh, good shot. Ooh, nice hit. Oh, you missed the shot on the ball. That's how we're communicating over pool and hockey and ping pong. Ladies are a little different. And it's good. That's the way God made us. They experience and express themselves oftentimes through sharing and relating about their difficulties. Men would rather be building highways, tearing down buildings, slaying fish, and telling the stories about them rather than talking about relationships, verbalizing these things. How can this be seen? ladies are expressing themselves, and you listen to the conversation. A husband will say, how can you talk so long on the phone? Because one is sharing all the details. Last night, my wife got a phone call. And because I've been studying this, I actually listened. And Beth made just a couple comments. Oh, that's too bad. Really? How did that happen? And this, and so, and on, and this woman was talking and talking and talking and talking. And you know what? When it was all done, it was a very profitable time, at least in my observation. We struggle with that as men. And that's not to make us feminine. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to make us like women and women like men. I'm seeking understanding so that for the development and the enhancing of our relationships in the home, we can be better listeners by understanding our wife. Now, sometimes they end up sharing all their things with their friends or their mothers or their sisters. And we have set a pattern in the home as men by being such poor listeners or carers that they don't want to share with us, because all we do is either poo-poo it, ignore it, switch the channel, or try and fix it. And so how can we better minister to our wives in their trials? Listen longer. And I put in my notes, much longer before trying to solve the problem. I am guilty of this. I am guilty of this. Because I put on my Mr. Fix-It hat. How about asking? Do you want a suggestion, Beth? Or do you want a suggestion? How I think I can help you in this. She may not want. She just wants to listen. How can I help you in this trial? Hold her. When a woman is going through a very difficult time, her friends hug her and hold her. Hold your wife. Hug her. Express your care by being next to her and with her through this trial. A man will always sit across from each other when they dialogue and they discuss things. Women, they want to sit next to each other. They want to feel each other. They want to have their arm around each other or pat their knee or something. But when your wife is going through a trial, men, you can be a better minister to her by being next to her there as a support and an encouragement, not necessarily with your hammer, nails, and saw to fix it. Oh, I put those down. Yes, listen. How can I help? And you can hold her. When she's crying, don't leave her alone. Now, some women are very much well up in tears easily. Others are not much of criers. But when they're going through difficulties, support them. Be there. Listen. And when available, give some very godly, direct counsel. Now, what's interesting is in this book, I was reading about this, that men and women record love bank deposits with a different deposit slip. What does that mean? You've been thinking about it because you read the whole handout because I mistakenly filled in the blanks. So what does it mean? It means this, and I can see what he says, and I bounce it off a couple women, and they said, yes, that's exactly the way it is. When we give flowers, we think that's worth 10 points. Woo! It was a three-pointer from the line. We scored big time. We're good for 2 weeks at least. Not true. The woman sees that as 1 point. You made one deposit in the bank, and you're only good until tomorrow. Then you got to make another one. Because we think we get this great big reserve. No. Everything that you do for your wife is worth 1 point. That's it. Now, I did hear from one woman, well, sometimes it's worth three, but if the slate is clean after the day, you have to make a redeposit the next day. You need to express yourself, and that's an expression of love, a tender touch, whatever. Those are all worth a point. You score. But men think, oh, a dozen roses, that's at least 24 points, and I'm good until next Valentine's Day. Bad. We don't understand. Woman is seeing it as, I want ongoing deposits to know and be secure in our relationship. It doesn't matter the gift size. It doesn't matter the expression on the note. Tomorrow they need another reaffirmation of your love and care. In fact, this is how it happens, and this is what he recorded, and I changed it a little bit. Dr. Gray, I changed it. But some primary needs of a woman and a man: caring and trust. And we're going to look into this more specifically based on Ephesians 5:33 next week, that a woman needs love and a man needs respect. And it's a cycle, back and forth. Woman needs caring. She needs to know when you come home, you care about her. Not just that the dinner's done on time. Beth, how come dinner's not done? It's 5:32. You said 5:30. Well, that goes really big at my house, let me tell you. Men need to be trusted. That's leadership. When you're leading and they step up behind you and they let you lead, they're trusting you. They need that. Understanding. She doesn't need to be fixed all the time. She needs understanding. My husband understands me. I'm crying, and he actually knows why I'm crying this time. It's a big thing. Respect. A man needs respect. This is how he functions in a world of respect. When a man and a man don't respect each other, relationship never works. In employment, on the football field, as soon as they disrespect each other, that receiver is not going to get any passes from the quarterback. Just how it works. Love and appreciation. A woman needs love. She needs a constant flow, one point of peace, every day, morning, noon, and night. And you're way up on the score. A man needs appreciation. Oh, honey, thank you for going to work today. Thank you for earning a living for our family. Thank you for stepping up and dealing with the neighbor. I'm glad I didn't have to go over there and talk to that neighbor. Those are the types of things. Devotion. She needs to know this relationship is secure. He doesn't necessarily need that. That's not what he thrives on. That's not part of his oxygen that he breathes every day. But admiration, when she shows him respect, trust, and admires him for who he is. He's a leader. In fact, you see this in Proverbs 31. He stands in the gate as a judge. Man needs that. Validation. She needs to know that dress looks good on you. She looks in the mirror and she thinks she looks good. But until you tell her, she's not validated fully. Now, if her girlfriend comes up and goes, nice hairdo. I like the highlights you put in there. Or frosting or whatever you call them. I like that. And she goes, thank you. She was validated. But you never see what she wears? Oh, do you like my outfit? Oh, is that outfit new? Cost me $100. Yes. Don't you like it? That's okay. Bad. I read 2 weeks ago in Haggard the Horrible, and he's talking to his son, and he says, son, let me tell you how you can get along with your wife, wife or women always. When they buy something new and they ask you, how does it look? You always say, wonderful. It looks good. That's all. And the next frame is his son is walking away and he says, oh, I wish my father had told me that. It would have saved me a lot of trouble. Because, not that you're going to lie to them, but you're watching them and that she's validating. Nope, I'm not even going. I'm going to ignore that. Nope, I'm not going to clarify. Approval. Approval. A man wants approval from his wife and to know that what he just built is very good. Yes, that looks good. I like that. Now, it's not quite straight. You probably should have leveled it a little bit more, but it's good enough. You have my approval. Reassurance. Reassurance. When she doubts, when she has insecurities, when she struggles, you come alongside, you put your arm around her, and you reassure her and encourage her to move on. Well, a man needs simply encouragement. Yes, what you're doing, honey, I'm with you. Go ahead. I'm supporting you 100%. Ephesians 5:33, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. It's biblical. It's summarized in those two phrases, love and respect. And the author here elaborated a little bit, and I changed a few words, but I can see how this is true in many ways. Men naturally see now. Okay, my PowerPoint didn't work there the way I wanted it to, but we've got it all up there. God has designed men with unique character traits. He's from Mars. They tend to be goal-oriented. Women tend to be relationship-oriented. We want to achieve something. We want to accomplish something. We want to get to work tomorrow morning and tell a story about what we did. Not about how we felt when we did it, or how we looked, or but how we related to it. But look at what I accomplished. This is what I did. What did you do over the weekend? That's the first question you get on Monday morning, men. To feel good about himself, oftentimes a man must accomplish something, achieve something, some goal. He needs to win on his team. And if he can't do it, then he watches it on Sunday afternoon and his team wins. That's how he relates to these things. Many times our pride in the human nature side, we have to accomplish something so we have something to boast about. Now, obviously, in a Christian man, we ultimately boast in the Lord. But a man on his human side, in his psychology, he tends to be goal-oriented. He's independent. He has autonomy, a symbol of power and independence and competence. Communication for men is not as important as it is for women, because they want to relate and share their feelings and what has gone on. Men will more likely tell a story about what has happened and how it happened and how they were involved in what happened. Talking and relating for a husband and wife is absolutely important. And it becomes tremendous fulfillment as you both learn about each other and how a man can listen better and even open up and share more. And a woman then cannot try and deflate him by the ways she speaks to him when she understands what he has done and what he has accomplished and give him encouragement in that. If you want to see the difference, and if this is true, that goal orientation, just look at two groups of children, one group of young boys and one group of young girls. They will normally sit around and relate to each other, the girls. The boys will be shooting them up, bulldozing, throwing things, fighting with sticks, and screaming, "I won, I won." That's how they relate to each other. Young girls, they'll sit around and talk. They'll have dolls maybe, or they'll discuss who's going to play the groom and who's going to play the bride and get married over and over again. How can a wife wisely help her husband without offending him, knowing that he's goal-oriented? Let's see, I jumped ahead on that question. Excuse me. We've got to go down the list first before we get to that question. Men naturally tend to be independent in processing things internally without the need to discuss with others to make a decision. Look at John chapter 21 with me. John chapter 21. In John chapter 21, we'll start in verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." There's a man relating. He's made the decision as himself. He's internalized it. He hasn't discussed it with them. He says, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We are going fishing with you also." There's the depths of their conversation. And you know what? They both think this is normal and natural. Good, we're together. Let's go accomplish something. Let's go catch fish. And in the meantime, we'll have some stories to tell. So here we see men relating and just independently internalizing, and he makes a decision. On the other hand, When there's a difficulty, men will naturally withdraw from others, internalize their thoughts in order to analyze the problem and come to a personal conclusion and decision. In different ways, men and women cope with stress. On Mars, men pull away and silently think about it. They analyze. They come to a conclusion. Once in a while, they'll bounce it off their buddy. But they've already come to a conclusion normally. Women, instead, instinctively need to talk about it oftentimes. And they'll talk to others. And when their husband hears them talking about a problem, he wants to fix it, or he thinks they're bothering him. So, when conflicts come up, it's very important that a woman understands that his husband naturally internalizes it and doesn't normally want to discuss it. Now, on a crucial item, a man should be very willing. But I know at times my wife gets frustrated because I'll just think about something and I'll go, okay, let's do this. She'll go, aren't we at least going to talk about it? What's to talk about? I already made a decision. Not always good. And so I must learn to be wiser and see that she needs to discuss it. Now, let's use the example of a map. Why does a man need a map? He just keeps driving until he finds the place, right? Why would we ask directions, honey? The guy at the gas station, he probably doesn't know where it is anyways. Well, he lives right here. Why don't we stop and ask directions? No, let's keep going. And so oftentimes a man will internalize, he'll go and continue on until he accomplishes it. And on a natural side, in our pride, if we fail, then we are humbled, and that's not good. Now, a man of God should be able to ask questions, especially of the Lord, asking for wisdom. And so men naturally take suggestions and corrections personally as an attack on their manhood and their abilities. We take these personally. We end up taking these as an attack on our ability to perform. So when a woman is quick to suggest, quick to correct, it's always an attack on our abilities. And we take that personally. And she doesn't understand that. Because when she's with her girlfriends, they always are giving suggestions to one another and they don't take it personal. Now, that's what the author says, and it seems to be very true in life oftentimes. So how can a wife wisely help her husband without offending him? Well, first, again, go vertical. Ask for wisdom. Lord, what can I do here? How can I help? She can then appeal to him wisely. What do you think? Maybe we should look into some directions here. We've only gone around the block 4 times. I can do it. I'll get it, honey. No. As she approaches him, recognizing that we will naturally react, especially under a trial, to a direct correction or a direct, you need to do this, honey. You need to. Well, oftentimes our leadership then, we react. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that we don't need to get corrected. We don't need suggestions. I've mentioned that several times, that within the role of the woman's respect and submission, she needs to be free to address things with her husband and ask him about this and even sometimes reprove him. But by the grace of God, you can help through asking the Lord, asking your husband how you can help, giving him some wise advice at the right time when you're not, again, seeking to take over the reins and lead. Again, not only men have issues because they're from Mars, but women, in a sense, are from Venus and they have unique character traits. Women naturally tend to be interdependent and need to talk things out involving others in the decision-making process. I've mentioned that already. Also, women naturally go to others just to speak their thoughts, talk out loud, go for a walk and discuss these things. They oftentimes come together, instead of crying independently, they'll cry together and discuss it. And they'll go through this trial as they talk it out. Men don't understand that very well. We want to withdraw when we're going through trials and difficulties, internalize them, and hopefully bringing them to the Lord. So when there's trials between the husband and the wife, and the husband goes off to the garage or somewhere, she can feel unloved. She can feel rejected. She can feel that it's an attack on her and the love towards her. Whereas the man, when that happens, he's then seen, I need to get away and think about this. I don't want to talk about it. But over time, hopefully, if he's wise, he'll come back and he'll discuss it openly with his wife. Because if you just ignore it, men, and you don't come back and deal with it, then she's going to be thinking about that for a long time and saying, why? Why was it that 2 days ago or 3 days ago you wouldn't talk about it? I feel so unloved. I'm hurt by this. So, what can a husband learn from this fact that his wife is interdependent? She wants to involve others. She wants to go and discuss this out loud. How can you learn? Be there for her. Just be there as a listening. Be there as a sounding board. Let her know you hear her, you care. She just needs your love many times. Also, though, you will be involved at times helping make the decision. As the leader, you're out front there. But don't try and make the decision when she's hurting and she's going through her own trial. Pray with her. Point her to the Lord. Let her know that the Lord says this. All things are working together for good. This didn't catch the Lord by surprise. His strength and His grace are sufficient. We need to walk by faith and abide in our Savior. But the trouble is, we poo-poo her emotions, we don't give her ample time to express and listen, and we don't listen to her fully because we have our Mr. Fix-It hat, we're trying to solve it. It hurts. It pushes us apart. Women also desire to listen to them, others to listen to them and express a concern for their difficulty. Wives need to sense a husband's love while she is going through the trial. I just mentioned that. She needs to sense that you're there. Again, men must just be there during the trial, supporting, listening, giving some advice, some scripture, some promises, some direction, but not trying to take over the reins and pull her through the trial. It doesn't go well. Oftentimes a woman, once she gets all worked up or upset, or she gets down, it takes a while for those emotions to turn around, and she needs time. Men, we can oftentimes turn it on and turn it off. We can be all upset, and very soon we can then change. So the Lord needs us to recognize these things. So how can a husband be certain that his wife knows he cares and loves her? Well, you need to speak with her. Listen well to her. Ask her questions. Show her and demonstrate her care as you just hold her hand and say, let's pray together, honey. Let's pray about these things. Let's bring this to the Lord and let Him know. Maybe you need to go for a walk with your girlfriend. I don't know. Sometimes a woman can relate better than we can. But you're demonstrating through your time, attention, you're touching her, expressing her love, your love to her, that she is nurtured and cared for and watched, and you're there for her. Again, these are some things from this book that seem to be very helpful. That basically, we as men and women come to our communicating differently. We come to our relationships differently. And by understanding that we are different, and that's God's design, it can help in our communication, it can help in deepening and enhancing our relationships, and it can help resolving conflicts so that instead of increasing, we can diffuse things just simply knowing how our spouse thinks. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your grace, Your amazing grace. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for Your design, and that in a man and a woman, You've designed us differently. Just ask, Heavenly Father, that You would undertake with our understanding, and that we would relate better and more effectively to our spouses for the glory of Jesus Christ and the enhancing of our relationships. Thank you, Father, for your grace, which is sufficient. We just ask you would direct for Christ's glory. In his name I pray. Amen.